Very nice. 3:32 on Downtown. Little Four Tops, little Philadelphia soul there.
Love the Four Tops.
Get some Levi Stubbs in there.
Levi Stubbs, man. When he did the music for, you know that show. I can't think of it. With the plant.
Little Shop of Horrors.
He was fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it seems appropriate to talk Philly as we're on the phone, the G&M Family Market phone line, with John McMullen, a national NFL correspondent with today's Pigskin and based in Philly. So, John, that was just for you.
I appreciate it. I thought you were talking about the Arena Football League team.
It's getting close there. Let's start, before we get into the draft, let's talk about some things going on in Philadelphia, especially this situation with Sam Bradford. What is your take on that?
Well, I understand why Sam's upset. I understand of it. In fact, kind of know that your future isn't in Philadelphia, but at the same time, he's got to understand that he's set to make $22 million guaranteed this year. And if he wants to move on to another situation, even if the Eagles grant him the request to seek a trade, wherever he ends up, he's not going to be the guy, as Tom Condon, his agent, described it in various interviews. So, whether it's Philadelphia or somewhere else, Sam Bradford's going to have to play well in 2016 to move forward as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and I think he needs to realize that.
Well, the other big Philadelphia Eagles story, of course, the trade to get the number 2 overall pick. Is Carson Wentz the guy? Is he the right guy? And did they give up too much?
Well, that's the big question we'd all like. They feel... their mentality is they haven't been the same since Donovan McNabb left, and they've sort of bounced from quarterback to quarterback. Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez, on and on and on and on. And they realize you can't be consistently successful in this league unless you have the answer at the game's most important position. They feel Carson Wentz is that guy. They're comfortable with the knowledge that the Los Angeles Rams are going to take Jared Goff, so they believe they will get him at number 2 overall. And it remains to be seen. It's a big leap in competition to go from FCS to the NFL, and that's the one concern. Physically, if you look at the combine, Rich, he outperformed Jared Goff in every single category. So his skill set is certainly NFL caliber. It just remains to be seen if he can make that leap and come. If the Eagles get it right, all of this is going to be forgotten about because everything will fall into place. If they get it wrong, it's going to set the franchise back about 5 years.
John, beyond Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, there are some workable arms available in maybe the second through the fourth round, depending on the teams and the systems that will be fitting them in. Who do you think has their eyes on a guy like Paxton Lynch or even further down, Christian Hackenberg?
Well, I think Paxton Lynch obviously is going to be a first-round pick, and I think Connor Cook's going to be a first-round pick. And one of the things that fuels that is that this is such a quarterback-starved league. And once you have signal callers going off the board at 1 and 2, I think that'll push Paxton Lynch up the board. And whether San Francisco could be there, if they trade Colin Kaepernick, as a lot of people speculate, they need a quarterback. They're not going to move forward with Blaine Gabbert, no matter what they say. So I could even see him turning into a top 10 pick. As far as Connor Cook, I think the demarcation line is 31 with the Broncos. If he's there, I think they take him, and I think other teams realize it. So if they want him, they kind of know they have to trade up to get in front of the Broncos. And then you start talking about the developmental types, and that's where Hackenberg comes in, and Dak Prescott and people like that. And that's sort of like the flavor of what flavor do you like? A lot of people like Christian Hackenberg and the way he performed when Bill O'Brien was at Penn State in a pro-style system. But once they morphed into a more of a spread style under James Franklin, he didn't look nearly as good. In a weird way, that helps him with the NFL because there's more people in the NFL that want you to be a progression-based quarterback than a spread quarterback. So he's an interesting name to keep an eye on.
In a league that doesn't seem to value running backs like they did 15 years ago, how high do you see Ezekiel Elliott going?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. He's a tremendous back, and if this were 10, 15 years ago, he'd be an unquestioned top five pick. But the position has been devalued to such a degree, it's tough to have a selection in that top 10 and say, we're going to use it on a running back. It's just the reality of the game and what it's morphed into today. The position, it's just not as important. And I look at Ezekiel Elliott, and to me, he's potentially a really, really good three-down back. He can do everything. He can run the football, obviously. But he can also catch it out of the backfield a little bit. And most importantly, he can pass protect when it comes to those third-down situations, and that's so important for running backs. So his versatility is going to be – he's certainly going to be a top 15 pick. The only question is, will somebody reach a little bit early? I think the Miami Dolphins are so desperate, they might trade up into the top 10 to try and get him. For instance, with Cleveland, who could possibly be looking to move back again with their sort of baseball mindset of analytics and creating assets for the team. So if he does go in the top 10, I think it's going to be the Miami Dolphins moving up to try and get him.
We're talking with John McMullen, NFL draft coming up tomorrow. So after those first two quarterbacks go, who's the first non-quarterback? Will it be somebody like a Joey Bosa? Will it be an offensive lineman, maybe a Kelly of Alabama, Tunsil from Ole Miss? Who do you see?
Well, you know, remember, when Tennessee had the number one pick, it was pretty much a fait accompli. If they stayed there, they were going to take Laramie Tunsil. Now, he's had some issues. Today he was sued by his stepfather. So there are always things that can push you down the board. San Diego's sitting at number three. I think they have a choice of really three options for what they want, and it's going to be DeForest Buckner, it's going to be Tunsil, or it's going to be Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle from Notre Dame, who all of a sudden is headed back up the board after falling a bit. So I think those are the three most likely names for the Chargers if they stay at three. But you know, in the history of the draft, guys, when the first two picks have been traded, the third pick has also been traded. So there's a chance the Chargers try to move out and try to get more, and all of a sudden you have to look at the needs for the team. Dallas at number four, I think they're a little concerned about Joey Bosa because there might be some red flags. And they've had some issues, obviously, in the past with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, Greg Hardy, Joseph Randall. Hasn't worked out for them as far as taking guys who might have something in their personal history that foreshadows danger in the future. So I think the Cowboys are going to take more of a safety approach in this draft, and maybe a Jalen Ramsey would be next after off the board.
What do you think is the deepest position in this year's draft?
Unquestionably, defensive tackle, the interior of the defensive line. You have guys going in the second and the third round on this draft that normally could be first-round picks if it were an average year at that position, specifically guys like Sheldon Day from Notre Dame. No way a kid like that, tremendously talented, is going to go in the first round because there are so many good defensive tackles. But if this were last year, if this were next year, a kid like that would go in the first round. So I think by far defensive tackle is the deepest position in this draft.
John, who's most likely to suffer one of those embarrassing draft day slides where they just sort of wait to hear their name called?
Well, as my dog tries to chime in, I don't know if you heard it. But
oh, we heard it.
Everybody's a draft expert, even your dog.
She's still trying to give her opinion. But anyway, as far as the slip, I think the one guy you look at potentially because of injury, we already know Jalen Smith is going to fall and fall significantly. He would have been in the conversation to be a number one overall pick, but because of the catastrophic knee injury he had in the Fiesta Bowl, he might not even be a day two pick. That's how devastating that injury is. But that's been set in stone for a while. Miles Jack also, because of meniscus issues. There's a lot of people think he's the best pure football player in this draft, but there's so much concern over the long-term future with his knee. I think you could see him dropping at least a little bit, maybe from top five to top 15. As far as a huge slide, I'm not sure you're going to see that because the guys, Howie Roseman, the Eagles executive vice president of football operations, kind of defined it. There's always tiers in the draft, and the top tier of this draft is about 10 players deep. Everybody knows it. And from there, it kind of falls off. So the guys that you hear high profile, I don't think they're going to slip too far.
John McMullen, great stuff. John's from Today's Pigskin. You also hear him in the Philly area on 97.3 ESPN. A busy couple of days coming up for you, John. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and enjoy the draft.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
John McMullen talking draft time.